Let's bow our heads to pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your loving kindness to us. Thank you for your great grace, for your mercy, your loving kindness, your goodness, your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, he who lives within us and guides us and cares for us. Lord, open our hearts to your word and your word to our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Personally, I found those stories very, very moving and very helpful too. Because God does love us, and God wants the very, very, very best for us. But we all do have to admit that we are lonely sometimes. Desperately lonely. And we feel as though the gates of heaven are closed. But yet God never turns his back upon us. He's always the same, loving Heavenly Father. I expect sometimes, like many others, you feel it's difficult to face the pressures of the world round about you. You feel afraid. You are not alone. Millions of people look out of their eyes at the things, the people, what's going on round about them in the world. And they're scared. You see, we're made as individuals. We're made as single units, if you like, with a body, with a mind, with feelings, and with abilities, and with weaknesses. I think so often people have that iadom factor, I-A-D-O-M. It all depends on me. But really, it doesn't. And if you feel like that, you will feel terribly alone. Perhaps you feel like that now, do you? God is always with us. Listen to God's words and be encouraged and comforted. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. In these weird words, we hear that God leads and directs the life of a man, a woman, a child who loves him in a perfect way, in a perfect manner. God delights in leading you. Isn't that so comforting? God has a plan for your life. And God wants to put that plan into action. But he does require that we submit to him our wills. That we say, thank you, Jesus, for dying to take away my sins. Be my Lord. I want you to be in charge of my life. I want you to direct my steps. But there are people, of course, who just refuse to take God into account in their lives. And we can see them are all around about us. Here in Dollingstown, in Lurgan, in Marilyn, in Belfast, in the UK, around our world. So many people turn their backs upon Christ and do not believe in him and do not want to have anything to do with God. In the scriptures we read, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And also, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. You heard the story of the man who went to court in North America saying that there was discrimination because there wasn't a day going to get this one. It all ends up that the judge says to him, you're a fool if you believe that there is no God, and therefore there is a day for you. It's April Fool's Day. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but his end is death and eternal separation from God. It's so important that as young an age as possible, we should seek the Lord and find him as our Savior, as our Lord, as our friend. And then as forgiven, Spirit-filled children, men and women, he will lead us. He will order the path of our life. And we will never be alone. Remember, Jesus told his disciples, lo, I am with you always, to the very end of the age. So with Christ, when we choose Christ, we choose life. But if we choose to go our own way, if we choose ourselves, our foolish ways, then we choose death. Embossed on my Bible, on the front cover, are these words, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Is that how you respond to the Lord? Amen, if it is. Those were the words, of course, of Joshua, God's servant many years ago. I chose to serve the Lord at the age of 12, and have always been so glad that I did. Jesus is with me and within me always, so I need never feel alone. And he guides me and leads me in the right ways, always. I've found recently in our home Bible study groups, house groups, that we've been reading about the prophet Elijah. This came about because our parish's new series of house group Bible studies this autumn has been upon still life. Now, that doesn't refer to the paintings which you might have seen next door of flowers in vases or fruit on bowls. It's not that type of still life. There is still life when we are still before God and receive his life flowing through us. Still life was to do with finding our ways to keep our hearts and minds focused on God and to find rest and peace in him. And we've been encouraged in these past weeks to decelerate our lives. We all know what accelerate means. But to decelerate, to slow down. Secondly, to give God space in our lives. To experience and to try out silence and solitude. And really to get tuned in to God's wonderful frequency. I don't know whether you know, but there are about 6 or 7 house groups at present in our parish. And certainly our house group members have found the course, which will continue on into the new year, to be excellent. One of the advantages of the course is that you can download it from the internet. And so we've got sheet after sheet here, which we don't read them all at once, which have been so helpful to us as we've gone week by week through and learning together. Also, there are video clips on the internet. There are interviews. And we have found our lives be really blessed through this life course. It's spelt L-Y-F-E. And the lovely thing is that if you want to get closer to the Lord, if you want to experience more of his presence and not to feel lonely, then you can go into www.life.org.uk and you can start this course and catch up with some of us and then join a group. It's great. in our lesson 4, we were introduced to Elijah. And we learned how he was a man who was all on his own. He had surrendered his life to God, and in response to this, God had empowered him as a prophet and as a teacher. It's peculiar. We know very little about Elijah, really. We discovered that he came from Tishbe in Gilead, which was probably a small village about 30 miles south of the Sea of Galilee in the River Jordan Valley. But the life of a servant of God with messages from God to a pagan king and queen was not an easy one. Nevertheless, Elijah obeyed God and trusted him. Escaping from Mount Carmel, where God had shown miraculously by fire, burning up Elijah's altar, sacrifice, stones, and even the water, that Yahweh is the true God. Escaping from there and from the threats of Queen Jezebel to kill him, Elijah ran for miles. You know the story. And finally, he wilted. He collapsed underneath a broom tree. He was emotionally, mentally, and physically exhausted. He cried out, "Take my life." He felt awful and alone. And for many people in debt these days, they feel exactly the same. And for many people who are not in debt, they can still feel exactly the same. We heard there, that shouldn't be on the screen at all, nothing. Well, anyhow, we heard there that God looks after his children. God had a great prescription for Elijah. Have you ever thought that God is the greatest counselor? God knew how to look after his children. And in this case of Elijah, Elijah's depression, God knew best what to do. First of all, God gave to Elijah sleep. Second, food. Third, conversation. Fourth, ventilation of feelings. Fifth, a change of perspective. And sixth, a new challenge. God gave Elijah sleep. An angel ministered to Elijah with hot bread and jars of water. After that, Elijah was able to travel 250 miles to Mount Sinai. God met Elijah there, listened to his lonely pleas, and then, not in an earthquake, not in fire, not with wind, but in a gentle whisper, God spoke to Elijah. He commissioned him. He recommissioned him for service, giving him definite things to do. You know, I believe you and I need that recommissioning from God. And we, in our lonely places, in our times of desperation, do need the Lord. You know, it's the Lord fed him. Part of our job in camp is to feed, not only spiritually, and that's so important, but also physically. God fed him. And then God gave to Elijah a new hope, a new vision. Elijah sensed that he was all alone. But God said to him at the end, when he was there on the mountain, he said, "Elijah, don't be afraid. You are to go and to anoint Elisha. He will be your successor." And the fellowship, the friendship, which Elijah had with Elisha thereafter was wonderful. And then he discovered that Elisha had a school of prophets, a group of men who loved God too. And the friendship and the underneath support for Elijah was so great from them. But then God said to him before he left the mountain, he said, "Elijah, I still have 7,000 people in Israel who have not bowed the knee to Baal." You know, we are never alone. We have friends. We have folk around us who know and love God and who wish to be helpers, befrienders of ourselves. Sometimes it just requires us to say, to shout, help. I need help. I feel lonely. I feel bereft. I'm in need. Elijah did all this. Yet he was a man like ourselves, with all his weaknesses, with all the difficulties in his life. But what I most love about him is what's written in a verse in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. In the modern translation, he simply says, I am a servant of the living, all-powerful Lord. When you and I get to that position, then, wow, there's no end to what God can do. Even Elijah's name meant Yahweh is God. Are you a servant of the living, all-powerful Lord? I hope and pray so, because you've got a lot of friends, a lot of brothers and sisters with whom to share your life and with whom to go on together in service of the Lord. Elijah didn't die. He was taken up in a chariot of fire up into heaven. You and I are promised that as we believe in Christ and lay our lives on the line for him, one day we shall be raised to eternal life with God. Are you on for it? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God, so much that you are our Father. You love us with an everlasting, immeasurable love. Help us so to submit ourselves to you, to put our trust in you, to love you and to obey you, that we discover that you are our God and we become servants.